If you're tired of one-sided conversations and mean-spirited rhetoric, it's time to listen and engage. This is The Rational Revolution, a look at today's issues through a politically purple lens. Now, here's your host, Chris Elfheim.
Well, happy Thursday, people. Welcome to The Rational Revolution. I am Chris Elfheim, and I am here with my guest host, Mr. Tony Palmieri. Say hello.
Hello, Chris.
And our guest for the week, the fabulous, the red, the white, and the gray. Oh, sorry.
That's blue.
Okay, sorry. Silver? No? Mr. Alderman Dean Rash from DePere Council is here with us, which means we are going to have some red, blue, purple conversations today.
I like it.
I know. It's going to be fun. So, right, you know, heading into my nap today, Todd, I say that just for you. Heading into my nap today, it was a good one too. I decided today's conversation was going to be fun. We're going to talk about sex, guns, and drugs.
Wow. Yes.
Sex, guns, and drugs.
And we'll get a little rock and roll for the.
Well, what kind of a conversation would it be without the rock and roll bumpers, right?
Right.
You're
going to
bring us in. Todd, how do you feel about that? Are you feeling tuned up?
Yeah, you want some rock and roll bumpers?
No, yes. Yes, we do. If we're going to talk about these things, we're going to have some good bumpers.
I got it for you.
All right, you got it. You got it. All right, fellas. So lots going on. And again, our goal here in the conversation is to talk about things from all sides and really kind of get an idea, maybe a little bit of empathy for the opposite opinion. We're respectful, a little jovial from time to time, but we each want to take a turn on the topic. So the first topic, we're going to dig right in. The first topic we're going to talk about is sex. Are you ready for a conversation? My boys are looking at me like, what the hell? Where are we going with this? Sorry if I just swore.
Okay. That's an okay word.
That wasn't all right?
Yeah, it's okay.
So we are going to talk about sex, but specifically because we are politically motivated in the show, we're going to talk about the trans legislation or the anti-trans legislation and that type of stuff that's going on in Madison. Mm. So a little bit different version, but I am excited to be hearing some perspectives. A little bit of background. Obviously, there's a lot going on in Madison to, you know, restrain or change the process from allowing people to have, you know, these conversations. So, who wants to start? I'll give it to Tony first.
We all look at each other.
I know. Like, you're looking. Well, yeah, you know, I don't give you a lot of time to prep for this show. I just drop it like it's hot and say it's a conversation. You're not supposed to be prepping. You're supposed to be having a conversation because that's what we do at home and that's what we try to do here. So, Tony, you go first. One minute. Let's keep it contained.
Well, it just seems like across the country that in state after state, Republican legislatures are passing what I guess we would call anti-trans legislation. And in state after state, the overwhelming majority of medical professionals are in support of gender-affirming care and other pro-trans legislation. And it just seems to me, if I have to decide whether to listen to a so-called conservative legislator or a medical professional, I'm going to side with the medical professionals, the people that are in the trenches and deal with youth and older people who are transitioning. So I think the way especially the Wisconsin Republican Party has politicized this issue, I find very deeply troubling.
Yeah, fair. Dean.
Okay. Well, this is where we get different.
What?
That's why you have me.
Again, I would stop here, right? Inviting you if you agreed with everything.
I mean, I have my red bottle tonight. So. But I the concern that I have is, and I'll split it up a little bit, but the concern I have is, number one, I think sometimes we throw out, you know, the majority of them and the vast majority of, and I don't know that that's 100% true. I prefer stats. I mean, I like numbers and math, so I prefer stats. But I would say when it comes to gender-affirming care, I think one of the issues I have with that is when it goes to minors. And I think we've got to be a little bit more conscious of the fact that not every 13-year-old who thinks they're a different sex than what they were born truly understands what that means at that age. So now if you're 25 years old and you want to do it, that's your choice. If you're under the age of a majority of 18, and you're trying to make that decision, I have a real hard struggle with that because we do hear story after story after story now, as this has gotten more prevalent in the media, of individuals who decided to start making those changes with hormone therapy and maybe not quite surgeries yet, that were under that age, and as they got into their 20s, realized, man, I screwed up. I really didn't know what I was thinking. I didn't understand everything that was happening with that. So I think we have to be careful with how we handle that. So I wouldn't call it anti-trans. I think it's more protecting of minors who might not know what they're getting into. So I think there's a fine line between that.
I think this is a great conversation because I think the bulk of us don't really understand. And I think that we have to start from there. Mm-hmm. We don't really understand. And I'm a member of the Rainbow Brigade. And I will tell you that I don't always understand. So I went to talk to an expert. I went and talked to somebody about a year and a half ago, a professor down at Lawrence, and I asked questions. Mm-hmm. And what I learned from her is, you know, I don't know where to start on it. First, I would tell you that if you were in a situation that, and I don't care if you're 13 or you're 43, if you're in a situation that you are so uncomfortable in your own skin that you decided to make a change and forever from that point be under the scrutiny of everyone who looked at you for every action you did, how must that feel? How must it feel to be that uncomfortable that you need to physically make a change that puts you in a vulnerable situation at every moment of every day? To me, that's where you should start the conversation. Again, from a place of empathy, what would it feel like? Then when you start adding in the information, again, I'm somebody who didn't really figure out who I was truly meant to be internally until I was probably about 35 years old. At 35, I started going, wait a minute, uh-oh, what's going on? And internal things started to talk to me. The reality is that when people hear or feel those sensations younger, and they spend then day after day trying to squelch or hide those emotions or those feelings, that is an unhealthy thing. In my case, and again, I'll relate to my case, I had heart issues. I had cardiologists jump off the chair saying, I have not seen that, and I do 1,200 of these a year. My heart was literally unhealthy because I had an internal struggle that I could not solve. So if you take that down into the 13-year-old or the 15-year-old, I am a believer in allowing someone to be as healthy as they can be.
I agree with you.
And I think that if, again, someone's inside doesn't match their outside, and with some adjustments of hormones, if they can feel like a truer version of themselves, I think that we could potentially reduce the suicide rate of trans, especially right. young trans, tremendously. And it's obnoxiously high. Mm-hmm. I truly don't want to quote the number, but I want to say it's like 27%.
I actually think it's a little higher.
It's atrocious. So if we want to start the conversation of we are concerned about our youth, mm-hmm. I am concerned for the lives of our youth and the mental health of our youth. And somewhere therein, in all of these statements, there's our reality.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree with that, Chris. I absolutely don't disagree with it. I think part of the issue is when some of the things that are happening in the communities or the schools are taking the parents out of the conversation. And I think that there has to be a lot more care for the child in terms of let's figure this out, not let's hide this from everybody and then start making changes. I think that's part of the big issue that I have with that.
I think that's valid. I think that where there's a danger is in our world, you know, that there's, you know, 40% of the population is not accepting of that reality. Mm-hmm. Right. So if you have a youth who does not feel comfortable in sharing that information in their own house, their own home of safety, where else are they supposed to go? Again, we're not dealing with this, but just imagine for a second that you are. Mm-hmm. If you have a situation where your child cannot, because of the way they've been raised, because of their beliefs, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that that's who we are. We raise our kids under a certain set of ideals. And if that child, and these are children, mm-hmm. these are kids.
That's my point. Yeah.
If they are not comfortable sharing that information to be the healthiest version of themselves to you, to whom are they to go?
Well, but I think the issue is that in, and I know I'm occupying a little bit of time, but I think the issue is that we cannot cut the parent out completely and hide it completely. There's got to be a way to communicate that to the parent. And I would hope, and I can't put any stats on it, but I would hope that the vast majority of parents who have children going through this would struggle in the beginning, but find a way to be loving and caring towards their child to help them through what's going on.
But I love that you said that. But
my understanding of these bills is that they don't say a teen can only make this transition with parental consent. They make it impossible for a certain age.
Right. They're trying to go do away with
it. So in that sense, it really takes the parents out of the equation.
Right. You can see where the challenge is, right?
Yeah.
And I think that most people want, again, children, adults, to be healthy, to be safe in their own dynamic. And to be honest, and we've got 2 minutes left on this conversation, but it's amazing that we're having the conversation in the media, right? Because honestly, the whole sports thing is where this started. And mm-hmm. the sports thing is a non-topic. There are zero.
I disagree.
Well, today, I'll give you a half a point on that, because today it's a non-topic. There are zero situations where a trans person is trying to compete against somebody else. And I would then take it back to, again, the empathy. Mm-hmm. If it's your child or grandchild that is a cis female and they're in a swimming competition against a trans female, mm-hmm. you're going to be ticked off.
Yep, absolutely.
At the same time, if you are the parent or the grandparent of the trans child who's just trying to live a normal life, you would be ticked off if they couldn't compete at some level, right? So again, if you put yourself personally in the situation. But what I will say, for those that say the conversation doesn't need to take place, it's a moot point, no, it's not. Because as we become more and more accepting of the trans transition, right? Yeah. As that happens, 10 years from now, there will be far more people in that situation. So we end up having to deal with it. It's not an easy answer. And
no.
I don't think that any of us has it in black and white. The only thing that I would ask for all of us is that we ask first. We ask questions to learn a little bit of understanding before we make assumptions. Oh, heavens, here comes the rock and roll. Here comes the rock and roll. Bring it on. We are the Rational Revolutions. We have just checked sex off the box. Congratulations, everybody. Rational Revolution, come on back at the other side of the break. We have the rock and roll tonight. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution, WGBW, WISS, the Civic Media app. Feel free to text us. Hit that little button on your app or 920-264-0606. With me, we have the fabulous Tony Palmieri.
Well, thank you, Chris. That was nice.
Absolutely. And then we have my friend. We're getting gray together. Mr. Dean Rash.
Again, as I said, I am not gray because I can't see it.
Ignorance is bliss.
Ignorance is bliss.
All right. So, yeah, Todd's giving you the A-OK.
Yeah, like, I got the A-OK on
you
that.
You can't see your reflection in that glass. Your eyes, you need glasses, too.
Oh.
All right. So we just got done. We were checking off the list. Tonight's conversation is sex, guns, drugs, and we're throwing a little rock and roll in on the bumpers. Nice job. Seeing as the bumper music heading into our last break was Ted Nugent, let's go right into guns. I mean, that just seems appropriate.
Great segue.
All right. So guns, again, we try to keep things light, but there's nothing light about the reality of the gun situation in our country. We just had another horrible, horrible situation. In fact, I've been traveling the last couple of days. I have yet to reach out. A friend of mine, I believe, lives in the town in Maine that last shooting just took place. And these are not big towns. If this is the town I think it is, it might be like 50,000 people. So this is something that rocks communities. So we're going to talk about guns. I hate that we have to continue to talk about it, but here we are. Now, Dean, I'm going to let you go first on this one. Let's just talk about gun control. Where are we? What could Wisconsin be doing nationally? Just have a conversation.
and obviously, you know, you introduced me as a conservative, so I am a Second Amendment believer and protector of that right. I think gun control is a very interesting conversation to continue to have. We look at some of our strictest gun laws in our country with our cities such as Chicago, you know, California and LA area, and they also have some of the highest murder rates and crime rates related to gun use. And I think it's less about the gun, in my opinion, it's less about the gun. It's more about the respect for the human, because the gun is just a tool. You know, we don't ban knives when somebody goes on a stabbing rampage, which we do have those on occasion. We don't ban cars because people drink and drive and do something illegal that way and kill somebody. The gun is an easy target in some sense, but I think the fact that it keeps becoming a topic is interesting, because I don't know if we fully understand what's going on with it.
Well, it keeps kind of becoming a topic because people keep getting shot.
Yeah.
And people keep getting stabbed, and people get, you know, car accidents, the whole bit. You know, so I think the argument around it is we have to be better at how we treat each other. And I think it goes back to that. We have such a divided country today, and our leaders don't do anything to help with that. They continue to divide us further. They get the rhetoric going. They get people fired up. They get people, you know, enraged at things. And then people do stupid stuff.
As much as I hate political vitriol, I'm not sure that I'm going to jump on the bandwagon of blaming that for mass shootings.
Yeah, I'm saying both sides. I'm not saying one side or the other. Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right. Tony, you're up.
Well, you know, we are an international outlier with gun violence. No other country in the world has hundreds of mass shootings like we do. And the way I see it is, for people who say that this is a Second Amendment issue and we need to honor the Second Amendment, to me, that kind of insults James Madison and other people involved in writing the Constitution. Do we think that those founding fathers would have sat back and watched people massacred and in the streets, in schools, in malls, and say, well, there's nothing we can do about it because we have a Second Amendment? I just find that, to me, that doesn't seem to meet the brilliance of the people who wrote the Constitution.
Yeah.
Right. Maine would be a classic example of where something like a red flag law would make sense, because that assailant in Maine, he had clear mental health issues, and yet nothing in Maine law would allow his guns to be taken away. And I think in Wisconsin we could probably use a red flag law at a minimum.
Yeah, we just got a text in. It says, after Reagan was shot, we had the Brady Bill, and everyone was for it. Why is it wrong to ask for waiting periods and background checks?
Good question.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah,
you know, and I think we do have some of that now today. I can't walk into, you know, one of the stores here and buy a pistol right away and walk out the store with it. I've actually got to go through a waiting period and a background check. If I go to a gun show, I got to go through the same process. So I think a lot of that stuff is there. They have to follow those laws. But there are some benefits and value to that. But we talk about the mass shootings, but we don't talk about the daily killings in some of the cities that we have, where people are shooting each other in the neighborhoods and the streets.
Yeah.
And that becomes a side topic, because it doesn't meet the narrative sometimes for both sides. I'm saying both sides. So I think we've got to be more honest with ourselves about what we want to accomplish here.
Yeah, I think that there's a whole nother conversation about social issues and poverty and,
correct,
you know, civil issues that we can deal with. I think in today's conversation, we're talking about war machines being put in the hands or that are in the hands of any public. Now,
define a war machine, though.
Are either of you gun owners?
I am not, but I do shoot.
Okay, then I am. I am the only gun owner on the raid. Todd is as well. I was raised on a farm. I went grouse and rabbit hunting with a 410 shotgun. I went rifle hunting for probably 20 years with between shotguns and rifles. I currently own a Bursa 360 and a 9/11 Beretta, a 9mm. Mm-hmm. I was raised with guns.
And respected them.
My first gun I received when I was 7 years old, and was taught from that day on how to use them. So I am not sitting here as someone who does not believe in the ability of the sporting nature of hunting. The time I spent with my dad and my mom, for that matter, in the woods, I will never replace. Mm-hmm. However, I have said this before. If I ever went into the woods in a group of hunters and they could not down a deer in less than the five shots they had in their magazine, they don't belong in the woods. There's nobody that needs a banana clip. There's nobody. I have shot an AR-15. It's an amazing weapon. It's scary how intense that gun shoots. It was at a range. It was in a safe situation. Do I need to have that experience? Do I need to have the ability to do that? I was there with my uncle, who is a Vietnam veteran, just came back from the DC trip, and he has been an NRA member for years. And he's to the point where he's not liking what's going on either. We're going to come back and we're going to continue on this conversation because we got a break coming up. But one of the pistols that I purchased was at a Gander Mountain type thing. And it was the classic, you fill out your application, your background check goes through, you go pick it up however many hours later. Fine. I appreciate that method. The other one was at a gun show. I walked in. I walked around all the booths, which is rather intimidating if you've ever done that. Mm-hmm. Found the gun I wanted. The guy took my driver's license, wrote it down. I gave him cash. He gave me a gun. I walked out with it. That's the reality. And there are every kind of gun you can imagine is for sale. I do have an issue with that. Now, even though I took advantage of it, right, I'm now here 10 years later saying, did I need to have the right to do that? Would I have been willing to go through something deeper in order to purchase? Yes, I would. Yes, I would. So I think that we have to keep on this conversation on what we're going to do. Again, our conversation today is on sex, guns, drugs are still coming. And don't forget the rock and roll on the bumpers, thanks to Todd. Again, Rational Revolution, come on back. We got a few seconds here, but I mean, come on. Rational conversations. We can disagree, we can learn, and we're going to keep moving on. See you on the backside. I can be happy the rest of my life with a single girl. A dreamer of pictures, I run in the night. You see us together. You say you want a revolution. Yeah, we have the rock and roll. I love us a little Beatles. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. Here, our friends at WGVW and WISS and the Civic Media app continue to text in. Tonight's conversation with my friend Tony Palmieri and Dean Rash. We're trying to do a little purple, red, blue.
Purple.
On sex, drugs. What else?
Rock and roll.
Guns. Can we agree? We're going to wrap up the gun conversation, but can we agree that things that we do in government should be in the best interest of the people who live in this country?
Yes.
Yes.
Can we agree that it's bad when anyone walks in with a automatic weapon and sprays bullets at a rapid speed that no 9mm, no 357, nothing else can produce? We're talking a high volume, high velocity, shredding style bullet. Can we agree that that really should not happen in today's day and age?
Yes.
I can say I agree with that, but I also can say that these are semi-automatic weapons.
That they are allowed to pull the pin and make automatic. It's not that hard to convert. We all know this if you own a gun.
Yes.
You literally pull a pin and a semi-automatic turns into an automatic. So again, I'll ask the question, can we agree in today's day and age that we should not be spraying bullets in a bowling alley, a school, a church, a mall, on the streets? Can we say we're civilized to the point of being beyond that? Or at least that we would ask our government to step in and try to make it better?
Boy, you twisted at the end a little bit.
I'm
because,
that good.
Yes, I agree with the first point of it. Yes, absolutely. That's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. We'll just
but
leave
what
it
do we
there.
Do? But what do we do from there, correct?
Well, it'd be nice if we did something. It'd be nice if we did something.
And I would just go back to, we've got a lot of cities that have done something and it hasn't changed it. So that's my struggle with the argument of gun control.
I'm going to let that die right there.
Okay? I knew I had to just drop the mic.
I'm just going to, that's not a mic drop. All right. We're gonna don't be pumping your fist at me. I'll take all right, moving on to drugs. I mean, this wouldn't be a complete conversation if we aren't talking about drugs. Now, which ones do we say? Let's talk about let's just talk about pot. Let's just talk about marijuana legalization. I do believe a bill was dropped in the last week or so by Senator Agard, supported by a number of people on the legalization. So who went first last time? Tony, you're up.
Oh,
talk about legalization.
Well, I mean, I've always had mixed feelings about this because I do work with a lot of young people as a college teacher, and I think that some of them, marijuana is not necessarily good for them, but they do seem to consume it. Mm-hmm. I have come to the conclusion that if a huge amount of people are using something illegally, we probably would be better off legalizing it so that we're better able to regulate it and get at the health issues more soundly. I think what we're doing right now, especially given that Wisconsin is surrounded now by states that have legalized pot for both recreational and medical purposes, it doesn't seem to make sense to force citizens of this state to travel out of state. I mean, even if a person's only concern is, you know, tourism dollars, I think Illinois and Michigan and Minnesota are benefiting from the Wisconsin population traveling to get it. But I also think, and Senator Agard seems to argue that for people that are concerned about safety and health issues, legalizing it would actually make it easier to get after those issues. And on balance, I agree with her.
All right. Dean?
Okay. That was interesting. I mean, I appreciate the perspective on it. I don't necessarily agree with legalizing marijuana. My father, who, as we talked on the break, was a cop at one point, he's also way more on the left than I am, but he also agrees that marijuana, legalization of it does lead to some other issues, and that's based on his experience in the police force.
Yeah.
So, you know, is it still referred to as a gateway drug? I believe it is, and I think you kind of hinted to that in the fact that some people shouldn't be doing it, but I don't know that. I don't know that by making something legal allows us to get at the problem better. I think we just have to attack the problem as the problem it is, without legalizing it. Do I smoke marijuana? Have I ever smoked marijuana? No.
Would you prohibit alcohol again?
No. But okay. That's the common argument for this conversation. But the reason why I won't, it's a personal choice for me. Having been around addictive people in my life, it's not a path I want to go down. So I don't see it as a value or benefit. Am I going to tell people, you know, you're stupid for doing it? Absolutely not. I've got a variety of friends whenever that smoke it. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying for me personally, I wouldn't do it. And I would prefer at this point not to legalize it just for some of the unknowns that I think we still have out there.
I think that's an interesting comment. I think the unknowns, we're about the same age. You are quite a bit older, but we're pretty close to the same age. Well, we all kind of grew up in the same thing. We all grew up, you know, through the early 80s, and it was driven into our head that basically drugs are evil and drugs are bad.
Yeah,
and if you read any books whatsoever, you know that that was kind of a plant. You know, thoughts that we have in our heads were put there on purpose. So, you know, again, that's not tonight's conversation. But if you think about the education factor, in my circles, the biggest thing that I hear about the edibles or the smokables is that you don't understand. Nobody understands, right? We've got Delta 8s, 9s, 10s, 11s, illegal, illegal. You can't really tell the difference. And the problem comes in terms of milligrams and what would it do to you? Well, I take that back. In junior high, and I know you did the same thing, in health class, we were taught lessons. We were taught lessons on how to be a proper alcohol drinker, consumer of alcohol.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yes, we were. Oh, we were taught in health class, and it was mandated. Absolutely. We were taught in health class that one shot equaled X amount of alcohol. One glass of wine was X amount and a thing of beer. We were literally given the tools to help us be rational intakers of alcohol. So I think one of the challenges that we have with legalization is that nobody really knows what to do or how to do it safely. Well, how do you do it? You do that with education. And I think that can be done. I think the reality is that the usage of THC, whether it be for my clientele is all in the retired background. You have no idea how many retirees are taking advantage of THC. whether it be for anxiety, for sleep, for arthritis, for Crohn's disease, you name it, there's a value. Why do we not know about the medical benefits of THC? Because the FDA doesn't want us to. What would you rather do? Have a naturally created vice to help your problem, or be given an opioid, which your chances of becoming addicted is sky high? Which one is better for you?
Well, I mean,
which one do you want to be on? A Schedule I narcotic to try and help you sleep at night, or 2.5 milligrams of something that peacefully puts you to sleep and you have no recovery? Which one makes sense?
Neither. For me, neither. And you know my background, my health history.
Yep.
But when I was offered marijuana back in the mid-80s to help treat my nausea from the chemo treatments I was going through for leukemia, I refused it at that point because in my mind, I thought, I want to do this as clean as possible. Now, there's no way to get around leukemia without having to take some drugs. And I've taken some stuff they don't even put into the hospitals anymore. But for me, it was a personal choice. I don't want to do that to my body. But again, I grew up around people with addiction. And so for me, that was
it was a fear.
It was a fear of stepping into that. And I don't remember the alcohol thing quite the same way you do. I just remember the effect that it has on somebody.
Well, that's true. You know, and I think that's, we got a text coming in. Why is Wisconsin holding back Tavern League? That's a good question. I thought that also. A year ago, I thought, well, it's the Tavern League. That's not really true.
I don't think it is either.
It is not. As strong as the Tavern League is, it is not, they're not the ones pushing against it. In terms of law enforcement, I talked to recently retired Chief Thomas down in Appleton. And then I did a ride-along, which if you've never done a ride-along, you should do that on a Friday or Saturday night. Yeah. Go sit in a squad car and get a feeling of what it's really like. Mm-hmm. But in their conversation, there's a kind of a 50-50 conversation going on, too. We have a major issue with drugs. We do. Mm-hmm. The fentanyl thing is huge, by far the biggest issue we have.
It's
there's
huge.
Clearly a continued issue with heroin and this and that. Mm-hmm. I think part of the conversation is, can we separate the two? Tony, you had said that you've got students that are enjoy and perhaps shouldn't.
I think
observation. We also have students and adults that enjoy alcohol that shouldn't.
Exactly. Correct. Exactly.
Right? So there's always going to be that situation. What I look at is, where are the positives and why can we not focus on that? No one is saying that you must start taking THC. Nobody is saying that you're no longer allowed to use your own method and now you can only use this. I'm just saying, if for $5 you can get a 50 milligram gummy that will last you 2 weeks and help you go to sleep instead of a $5 pill at night, why would you not want to be given that option? If you want to be the person that goes out with your friends and doesn't really enjoy alcohol, and because you can stop at a little someplace and get, 2 to 5 milligrams of something, you don't partake in drinking 8 cans of beer at 130 calories each, I point out.
Yeah.
Is that not better for the health system in the long run?
I just get frustrated.
Why is that so wrong?
I get frustrated, Chris, because, Senator Agard, this is now 8 or 9 consecutive years she's put this legislation forward.
Right.
And she can't even get a hearing in a committee.
Nope.
So you're always talking about good government. What should government do?
Yep.
Can we at least have hearings on whether marijuana should be legalized recreationally or for medical?
Well, let's just bring it back to gerrymandering matters, because if you don't have proper proper lines and balanced government, you don't get hearings from both sides equally. And so we'll just leave it at that. Yeah. But in terms of an economic thing, is it or is not true that our state could use the revenue?
Sure.
No.
You don't think so?
We have a $7 billion surplus.
Well, that should be going back to the schools and the municipalities. End of conversation.
People.
Just end of conversation.
Back to the taxpayers. But anyway, we're off topic right now, Chris.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so.
No,
I don't
think
so.
We're on drugs right now. We're not on taxes and $7 billion
surpluses.
But
it is drugs.
Sorry to bring it up.
It is drugs. So again, the UP thing. I happen to have a family cottage that's, 36 minutes from the UP border. Have you ever spent any time in a town that actually is where those billboards lead?
Yep.
Have you ever gone up there? The lines.
Right.
The lines are longer than at the chicken place down the road. We all, the, what is that
chicken.
Called? It's good chicken.
There's
right?
a lot of Wisconsin
the lines
plates and
are huge. They're from lot. All over the place. So I guess my point is, if you've legalized the hemp field, which is the Delta 8s, 9s, whatever, and it actually has the same effect. I mean, it's the same stuff. Why? Either, why would you allow the one if you're not going to allow the other?
So I will give you this, and only this for right now, just because I want to be
I'm waiting
difficult.
With bated breath.
You should. Medical marijuana.
Okay.
I'm okay with.
All right.
Recreational, I am not.
All right.
But it took me a long time to get to medical marijuana acceptance as I saw people who went through similar things like me use it.
Do you know that you have to wait longer for a medical marijuana card than you do for the ability to buy a gun? True. True.
Nice linkage of the issue.
You're
here,
welcome.
Chris.
You're welcome. It's true.
I don't know.
It takes 2 weeks to get a medical marijuana card in a state that's medical only, where you can have a gun in, what, 48 hours?
I mean, when I was offered marijuana, they brought it from the police department.
Because
they didn't have medical marijuana.
I don't know. I don't know where that's going. I mean, your dad's a cop. I don't know. Link it all up. It's Shawano. I mean, what happens in Shawano we don't talk about.
City of Green Bay, long time
ago. Oh.
1987. So let's put it in perspective.
It's crazy. Again, there's no perfect answer.
There's not.
There's valid conversations on both sides as to how would we regulate? How do you test? All of these things are valid. No one wants their kids getting into a negative situation. Again, we all
Correct.
Want what's
right.
good for the best of the people. But when you're surrounded by it, when it's technically in your community already, why would we not at least try and put our arms around it to educate, to legislate, to make sure it's done properly? There's no garbage out there. I'm telling you, the guy, the dude that's 60 years old that has a big plant in his closet, that's not where you should be getting it from. I would much rather us have a FDA approved process, and we know what's going in into our bodies and our children's bodies, than have them pick it up from somebody at college. Okay. That's drugs for ya. We've got drugs, we've got guns, we've got sex. What could happen next? God only knows.
Rock and roll.
Rational Revolution. Come on back. We're doing rock and roll. Chris Alfheim, WGBW, WISS, Civic Media. Come on back. We don't chug a luggage, yeah. We don't stimulate some action. We don't get some satisfaction. We don't find out what it is all about. Are you a red? Are you a blue? Are you a purple? Well, we're all here. You're all welcome. We're just trying to have some conversations here on the Rational Revolution. So far, we've talked sex. We've talked drugs. We've talked guns.
Yeah.
And now we're going to talk a little bit of politics on the federal news. Again, with me, we have the fabulous Tony Palmieri and Dean Rash. Again, we're just trying to have conversations. We are not certainly in agreement on all these topics, but it's okay to be able to share what we think. We're taking a little from each other and adding it to who we are, like a little salt, and hopefully we're better humans coming out of it. So, with our last segment here, by the way, before we head out, I want to give a heads up on next week. Next week, Thursday, our special guest is going to be Secretary of State Sarah Godleski.
Wow.
Yeah. We're going to learn a little bit about what she's doing down there, what the position is, and how that affects really the Fox Valley. She's working on some great things for our industry around here. So I'm looking forward to that conversation. But back to us. Back to us. Let's just talk about the whole leadership thing.
What was that?
The leadership thing, or lack thereof.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the lack thereof. So let's talk about it. I was traveling in the last couple days, and every time I turned on my phone off of airplane mode, I saw there was another name being mentioned, Voldemort did back, who he didn't back. You know, again, we try real hard not to say the words, but tell us, you know, again, right, left, center, let's go. Dean, you get to go first. Tell me what your family in. Are you going to embrace it? Are you embracing it? Your family?
My family?
Your family, the GOP?
Oh, no. My family's actually pretty mixed up. So
yeah. Okay, just you then.
Yeah. Kind of more. Yeah,
what went
more
wrong? I'm just kidding.
I was raised right.
You were raised.
Get the joke?
No. Don't you have a teacher in your. Never mind. Anyway. All right. Go ahead. Tell us your perception.
Oh, So my perception, and I know who you're referring to as Lord Baltimore, but I won't say his name because you told me not to say Trump again. But anyway, what I would say, it really comes back down to the divisiveness, the lack of leadership, we're just going to fight for power and control.
Don't say both sides, dude, because you're all on red right now.
I'm on red right now, but there is a blue portion of the Fed that's out there. But I don't like it on either side of it. You know, we've got to stop pointing fingers, figure out how to work together. I will say this. Our government was formed on the basis of the Iroquois Nation. And that is to be talking circles, come to consensus, and find ways to work together. We don't do any of that anymore. From a Native perspective, it's irritating that what we taught is not being followed at all. And it's kind of breaking down the system as a whole. So we have to find a way to be better at this. Now, yes, we had a bunch of different people for speaker that got names. So Johnson actually is an interesting person because...
Oh, real interesting.
He doesn't have from what I've heard, and I don't know him that well because nobody really does, he doesn't really have any enemies in Washington. He's kind of laid low a little bit. He's only been around about 6-7 years. I think he's an interesting person because he doesn't have a reputation yet. Of course, he's going to get one when he's a speaker now. So it's hard to tell what's going to happen from here. But I would say we've got to be better at how we get this figured out.
Do you know the hardest thing to do on this show is to just sit silently and respectfully? It really is. And I give credit to all of us for doing this because sometimes we just plain don't agree. But that is what we're trying to do.
Right.
And even if it's difficult. So I could jump on a couple of points there. But what you said is valid because it's what you think and it's what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
So coming from your perspective, you've got somebody that hasn't got a bunch of enemies yet. So therefore, it's not a bad place to be.
Well, we don't know, right?
The unknown is the unknown.
The unknown is the unknown.
Ignorance is bliss, as it were.
Well, you told me that earlier.
It's true. Tony?
You had me on the Iroquois Confederacy.
I know,
that
right?
That was just amazing.
But
here's what confuses me. Maybe Dean can respond to this. You know, the old line conservatives used to say that we really need to have a meritocracy in America. And so let's look at the Speaker of the House position. And if we really had a meritocracy, you would say the Speaker of the House should be someone who could easily be president. He or she is third in line. They should be an accomplished legislator. They should have passed bills. They should have chaired committees. They should know how the government works. And instead, we have a guy here that Dean is saying, I think rightfully, has kind of laid low. You know, if this was a meritocracy, I don't think Mike Johnson would be the Speaker of the House right now.
Yeah.
The Republicans have 8 members. Kevin McCarthy calls them the crazy 8. That's Kevin McCarthy saying that, not me. Those 8 members of the House are controlling the entire Republican caucus. And of course, Dean, you would probably agree, it's only going to be a matter of time before they turn against Mike Johnson, right?
Well,
The moment he
negotiates with Joe Biden, he's toast.
Well, and I think we have to get to that point. So again, the purple side of us is going to say our goal is to actually accomplish something. The biggest bogey right now is passing the budget.
Right.
So I have an issue. And Dean, to your point earlier, yes, you know, we agree on the fact that both sides must come together instead of the win-win. But this is a Republican issue. The Republican side is really struggling right now to have one singular message.
I agree with that.
And I think that is very evident. And the question is, if the person who won is, first, he does have enemies. His enemies are those that believe in the Rainbow Brigade. Me, for instance. Because I apparently, according to Mr. Johnson, shouldn't have the right to be married.
Right.
Period.
Yeah.
Right. He has. He is a staunch conservative when it comes to women's health rights. So he is known for his stances. He's also a massive election denier. So there it is.
But
right?
my question to you is: did you know that before he was being put into the speaker role?
I still shouldn't know about it.
Well, that's my point.
Because
nobody
we shouldn't
really knows
be in this conversation.
Yeah.
Now, that my point is, how are we expecting the red and the blue to start working together to get stuff on when the red and the red are broken? The red is you just elected somebody who has is standing with the 8 and Voldemort saying we're not going to pass this budget. Really? That's who we're going with? Now, in my opinion, shame on the Democrats a little bit because McCarthy wasn't great. And he may have backstabbed them after they did come to a deal, but they didn't have to vote him out either.
Right.
So this is, we're all guilty in that. So I'm not placing the blame there, but come on.
I'm not accepting the blame.
Is this where we're going? Is this where we're going, where we're going to have Chachi show up and be the speaker at the drop? He's third in line to be president.
Well, I'm more concerned about the second in line.
He's
to
never
be president.
Managed more than 10 people.
Yeah.
10. He now is in charge of getting a 400 person house of type A personalities to work together. Crazy. Oh, there's nothing
really,
rational
really
about politics right now.
No.
Listen, I really enjoy it. I know it. I enjoy having you guys on here. Tony and Dean, thank you so much. Rational Revolution, it's about conversations.
Yeah.
It's about a little disagreement, but moving forward together. Looking forward to next week. We have, again, Secretary of State Sarah Godleski teaching us a little bit of safe stuff. Be safe this week. Come on back next week, and we'll see if we can get these guys together another time. Thanks, everybody. Rational Revolution. Peace out.